This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
So this is President Trump.
Right.
What message would you give to Trump?
Well, I would plead with him respectfully. Respect, you always knew the people in New York, you know Williamsburg, you know the rabbis. He saw us, he waved at us, he saw our demonstrations. Yeah, when we
Trump saw here. You.
Yeah, because we were President Trump. In the future, you're going to have to look back and answer how each individual life that you could have saved, save them, please. You were blessed by God. You will be blessed by God by saving the people of Palestine and bringing the hearts together. And
Muslims welcome the Jews.
The Muslims welcomed. They not only welcomed, they gave a safe haven for the Jews who have been
and
persecuted.
And safe haven.
Yes. It's the day, the danger. This is the danger. This is the danger.
Assalamu alaikum, greetings of peace. Check out this picture, guys. Look at this, right here. This picture alone, as they say, a picture speaks a thousand words. This is more, look at this. This is a rabbi, and is this an imam, or this is just a Muslim, or?
Muslim.
It's a Muslim and a Jewish man, right? And they're where? And this is
in the city of Jerusalem, Al-Quds.
In Al-Quds, Palestine?
Yes.
Yeah, so, and they're, what are they doing? Are they having a fighting, or they're holding hands? What are they doing?
They're living as God wants, naturally together in the old city of Jerusalem.
And this right here, this picture dispels the modern day propaganda that Muslims are trying to annihilate Jews, that they cannot live together with Jews. And you're a testimony to that with all the information that you're also now as a rabbi. You're a rabbi, Jewish rabbi, I consider you a friend. How are you, Rabbi Weiss?
Alhamdulillah, thank God.
Thank God. Yeah. So, let's take off from this picture, okay?
Yes.
Tell us more.
If you haven't, come on now, what's stopping you? Like this video right now so we get more engagement with it. And subscribe. If you haven't subscribed already, go ahead and hit the notification bell. So
we are living under a time now of witnessing a carnage, a genocide, a murder daily, minute by minute of the people in Gaza. Actually it carried over into Lebanon, it carried over into Syria, through this entity called the Zionist State of Israel. People that are claiming that they are messages of God, basically. They are saying that they're waving their flag as the Star of David, King David. They're claiming that in the name of the Almighty, they have the sole right to control and to do what they want and to occupy the land of Palestine. This movement is a relatively new movement. It is a mere 140 years. The concept of Zion, what they call Zionism, Zion means the city of David in the books of the prophets, that they should be able to establish their sovereignty, their entity in the Holy Land. It's a movement that created this plan, as I say, around 140 years ago. They were contemplating other lands, Uganda, Patagonia, something that would be lush, practical, but they decided for practical purposes, the best would be to go to a land that's not so productive. In those days, you weren't dealing with technology, you were dealing with producing a rich land. But they decided Palestine, the results would be a thousandfold better because they would be able to present this to the world, to the Christian world, that they will say, the children of Israel and the land of Israel. At the same time, they'll be able to approach the Jewish, non-religious Jews around the world, because this was around already 100 years, 140 years ago, it's like 100 years already since the birth of Reform Judaism, meaning that they're going to change Judaism. They're not practicing Judaism. They're ignorant of the religion, and it's easy to sell them using emotions that we're going to return to the land that God gave us, totally ignoring our 2,000-year history. The Jews were sent into exile by God with the destruction of the temple, as it's clearly stated this will happen, the destruction of the temple in the books of Isaiah, Ezekiel, Jeremiah, it's all the prophets, and we were sent into exile with the destruction of the temple, and that we're under oath by God that we should not attempt to somehow dismiss this exile, try to end this exile, because it's a godly declared exile that we should be dispersed amongst the world, amongst the nations. And we are expressly told by God, do not attempt to return in mass, in large numbers. Do not rebel against any nations. Be loyal citizens in every country, even if they tax you unfairly as a Jewish people. It doesn't matter. We have to be loyal citizens in every country we reside. And we have been practicing this for 2,000 years. We've gone through the Crusades, the Inquisition, and so much trials and tribulations. And our great holy rabbis, authorities, they all, when they were asked, Maimonides, Rambam, the Maimonides, very famous people of Yemen, asked him, and then just many times they were asked, should we try to establish our own entity? And they were always told, patience, God is compassionate, he sees what we're going through, but he, in his ultimate wisdom, in his compassion, in his will, we are to not to try to preempt his will, to preempt to return as a nation. Remain, and when God sees the time is right, then in a blink of an eye, the whole concept of exile will end. God will make a metaphysical change in the world, and we will return into the Holy Land, where all nations together will come together. It says, all the nations will come together and serve God. Then the Almighty will build a temple. Until that day comes, we are to remain in exile, be loyal citizens, to glorify God with living a proper life of keeping the laws of the Torah, the Sabbath, kosher, and kindness, doing, as God says, Mahu rachum af atatorechem, just as God is compassionate, you should be compassionate. And we've been living in every Arab and Muslim land, especially we've gone through so much trials and tribulations in Europe. It was the Muslim lands that took the Jews and embraced us and gave us a home. First the Arabs, the Muslims, in Iran, the Persian, living thousands of years in Yemen, over 2,000 years. And the Jewish people have flourished under the Ottoman Empire, which includes Palestine. We flourished amongst them as a distinctly religious Jewish people, amongst a distinctly religious Muslim populace. So even though we have a distinctly different beliefs, we believe in one God, we have different belief, a different practice of religion, yet we were able to live, as this picture showed, in the same courtyards, in the same homes, and help each other, babysit each other's children, do kindness all the time. This was the life, this is the narrative that we have. The history is that the difference of religion is not, in no manner, shape, or form, an impediment to coexistence. What changed is the advent of a movement 140 years ago called Zionism. These people who are non-religious, they were already children of these Reformed Jews, Jews who dropped the religion, and they decided, you know, it's not convenient. Even Reformers said, we're going to not uphold the Torah, and then we're going to have a secular existence, we'll be able to assimilate amongst the nations. They came along, their grandchildren, they said, you know, that's not working for us. There's still anti-Semitism, so we're going to make our own country. And then they came, Theodor Herzl came with this plan, and he wrote, and we have his writings in his own diary, where Theodor Herzl writes in his own words, in his own diary, he says, the way to solve the problem of anti-Semitism is to speak to the head priest of Vienna, because he lived in Vienna, to get an appointment with the Pope to make a mass conversion of all the Jews of Austria to Catholicism. It should be done on a Sunday in the middle of the day with music and pride publicly. We are the last generation that held on to the faith of our forefathers. The conversion would be in St. Stephen's Cathedral. Imagine, we died for our religion. We were burnt at the stake, killed in the Crusades and in the Inquisition. We were tortured to death, and we upheld that because we live and breathe and die as Jews, and that's what we are here, that we are in a covenant with God. He comes along, he says, the solution is with music and pride, everybody should drop their religion. Now, this is the hero of Judaism, the father of Zionism, and I could go on and on with them. Yeah.
So
here I was showing this picture, this is the historic moment when David Ben-Gurion, reading the Declaration of Independence in 1948 in Independence Hall. Now you can see, they're making a Jewish state, supposedly. They're telling the world, God gave us the land. We have this covenant with God. On the walls is the Stars of David. Here's the picture of Theodor Herzl. Now, if you look close, you'll see there's not one rabbi. They're all with beardless. That maybe you don't see if somebody's possibly covering his head, but you definitely don't see it. And these are the ones who are they're making a Jewish state. And you don't. If it would be a Muslim state, they would have imam, a ayatollah, a sheikh. And if it would be a Christian state, they would have some priests or something. Here they're making a Jewish state. It's a farce. You don't see a religious person. And this is the creation, this historical moment. They're not embarrassed. There's no shame in what they're doing. But of course, it's not a Jewish state. It's a transformation of Judaism from subservience to God, 3,000 years upholding this religion, to a base nationalist movement, a selfish, flawed national movement, because it entails, first of all, trying to uproot the hearts of Jews from God, and occupying a people's land, a land that was inhabited for hundreds and hundreds of years. People were proud of their
So it wasn't a land homes. Without a people, a people without a land. You've heard this statement.
Of course, that was their mantra.
That was a made-up mantra, right?
Yeah, of course not. Hundreds and hundreds, I don't remember now, I'm embarrassed to say, hundreds, over 500 villages, towns, and maybe much more than that. I don't want to, disparage. It could be close to 1,000 villages and towns that was Palestinian. And they just eradicated this. Why? Because they
eradicated all those villages.
Well, not all of them entirely, but the majority of them.
Is that what's called the Nakba?
That's the Nakba. The Nakba means the catastrophe.
Yeah.
Because they came along. Now remember, the Jews were living amongst them. These Jews that were there were God-fearing. They wanted to continue living under whichever it was, the Ottoman Empire or the Palestinian.
They were treated well.
Yeah, yes.
And Muslims welcomed the Jews.
The Muslims welcomed. They not only welcomed, they gave a safe haven for the Jews who have been
persecuted. And safe haven.
Yes. And here, so we are, just one other point. Jews are required, according to the Torah, to show gratitude, to repay with kindness good that's done to them. The Torah is replete with such commands of God. So we know this. In our Jewish communities, the rabbis grit the teeth when they talk about Sabra Shaltila, where there was a town that the Zionists went in and just massacred the people there, and it was like to be an example that everybody else should panic and leave. So not all the time they killed everybody, but they created the situation that everybody ran away. That's what they wanted. Mm-hmm. In other words, they wanted that area. They decided they're going to take over the area. The rabbis, the communities pleaded with them to leave, pleaded with the Zionists to leave.
The original, the Jews that were there before, these were European Jews?
The Jews living for hundreds of years. Nobody went there for business because it was a poor area. The rabbis who would retire would take a few students and go the hundreds of years. This is the system. It was, and so rabbis would retire, and some of them, not all, some people would go along. So it became a place of the Ivy League of Judaism, rabbis and their students. It was considered the most God-fearing Jewish community. Very holy people lived there, and they were all anti-Zionist. When there was Sephardic and Ashkenazi communities, so they used to blow the horns Friday afternoon. And all the stores would close. Nobody desecrated the Sabbath. Today you go there, everything is going like it would be a Tuesday afternoon. The chief rabbi at the time in the 1920s, when the Zionists started coming, was Rabbi Deschintz. Rabbi Sonnenfeld of West Memory met with the king of Transjordan and even wrote articles in the Arabic newspapers saying, we do not aspire, we're not interested in taking anything that is holy to the Muslim people. We're totally against the Zionism. Then he passed on, and the next chief rabbi was Rabbi Deschintzky of blessed memory, and he pleaded with the United Nations in 1947, before it was ratified by the United Nations, as a representative of the Jewish community, the leader of the Jews. He said, we furthermore wish to express our definite opposition to a Jewish state in any part of Palestine. We don't want this. This is the God-fearing rabbi. If it would be something that you need for Judaism, how would he say such a thing?
How do you respond to the last program we did? You had some people who were saying, oh, this is just a fringe group. You know, they're the minority. You know, they don't speak for the majority of rabbis. What do you say to that? Have you heard this?
Yeah, it's just one of an endless disparaging and Zionist way of modus operandi is to defense is to offense, to go and attack the other person when you're doing something wrong. Instead of trying to apologize, you just attack the other. That's what they do. The best offense, the defense is offense. Mm-hmm. That's what they do. So but of course it's ridiculous. And it's repugnant, it's false, because the Jewish communities around the world, including in Jerusalem, when that rabbi passed on, you can see the hundreds of thousands, the Jewish community that was there, where were they living? In Tzfat, Meron, Tveria, in Yerushalayim, Jerusalem. These were God-fearing communities, both under the Ashkenaz and Sephardic, and they all, as I showed Rabbi Dushinsky, was the Eid HaChared, this God-fearing community. You see the tens and tens of thousands taking up the other rabbi. You see when Netanyahu came to the White House, you had tens of thousands of Jews never getting reported, going demonstrating and saying Israel has no right to rule over any part of the Holy Land. Bibi Netanyahu and the State of Israel does not represent world Jews. This is a fact. If you will go around the world, and if people really should give the effort, the time and effort to see this, the very religious communities, invariably, no matter what country, if you'll come to the United States, New York is the largest concentration of religious Jews in Brooklyn, New York, right across from Manhattan, Williamsburg, Brooklyn. And if anybody just takes the time, goes to Manhattan, go over the Williamsburg Bridge, make a right, you're in the largest concentration of religious Jews, you will see miles of Jews dressed, beards, God-fearing, the way Jews the attire that we're told that the customary to do for all our years, and the women dress modestly, and there's not one single Israeli flag in all that whole area.
That's right
across Manhattan, Brooklyn, New York, and the Williamsburg, Brooklyn. Why? Because this community. We don't have family planning as the Jewish lawyers, so we have large families that get married young. We have an average 6-7 children, probably, thank God, and we have private education for each one. So we pay taxes, but the Jewish community doesn't have public school. So we have to pay for each child individually. We have to pay for kosher food, for clothing that you can't just go to a wholesale, you know, place. You have to, and of course, a fortune. So they give their lives for their religion, and at the same time, they don't support the State of Israel. They're, in fact, against this. How could that be? If it's critical for Jews, the way the Zionists make this like the greatest issue, they would be the first to support it. Yet these very religious, and this is, I've just mentioned New York. If you go to England, it's in London, Stamford Hill's in London, that's the most religious area. You go to Montreal, Canada, you go in Argentina, there's a little pocket of Jews there. You go basically wherever, or Jerusalem, you go to Mea Shearim, that's the most religious area. That's where the Jews, after they the Zionists took over in the old city, then the Jews went to Mea Shearim. And they were living there before, prior to that, for hundreds of years. But the Jews living there, you'll see, they're against, they demonstrate there, they have no Israeli flags. This is talking in Israel, and you can see here, this is in the city of Jews, it says, stop Zionist terrorist massacre in Gaza. This is in the city of Jerusalem, these demonstrations. And by the way, when the Jews demonstrate over there, they get brutally beaten.
This is pictures of
these
them getting beaten.
Yeah, I remember, Palestine.
We showed this in the last episode.
Right.
Much of the
and
audience.
This is ongoing. I mean, I'm sure because I keep the pictures. But like just now, we had a rabbi who went there, a dean of a school in our area, very famous rabbi, Rabbi Avram Katz. He went there for a wedding. He was detained over there for months. He couldn't come home. He's a dean of a school. And he would just barely escaped now. Came back to the United States.
I want to show you something here, and I want to get your reaction.
Yes.
I want you to let me know, who are these rabbis, and how would you help us understand this? So this is President Trump.
Right.
And he's with a group of rabbis.
Right.
Do any of them look familiar to you?
No, but I could right away tell you, He went to visit Lubavitch. That's Chabad.
You know where this is at?
What's that? Yes, I know that. Yeah. This is
Is this in New York?
In New York. Yeah. We drive very clear. We go through the path from Washington.
Look,
we're not a Jewish person is required to be a loyal citizen to pray for the well-being of their government. We're not going to disparage our presidents. We're going to, we plead.
What would you say to Trump?
Well, I would plead with him. As actually, he saw us. He waved at us. He saw our demonstrations. Yeah, when we
Trump saw you.
Yeah, because we were standing when he was running.
How close were you to Trump?
Well, he had to cross the room. You know, he saw us because we stood out with our signs, our demonstrations.
Yeah. Where was this at? By Trump Tower or something?
No.
Was this by this? What was this place? A synagogue that they were at?
I didn't see the
one in the video.
Though they showed the cemetery where he's buried, the Lubavitcher Rebbe. Now, Lubavitch was had a dynasty in this Hasidic that there's a rabbi passed down to the rabbi after him if he's capable, and there's a lot of followers of that. And the Lubavitchers were one of the most. And people should look up Yosef Yitzchak Schneerson. These were a dynasty of rabbis who were before the beginning of Zionism, and then afterwards when Zionism started, and they were the most prolific, the most lucid speeches against Zionism, and they said that it's totally unacceptable according to the Jewish teaching. The last one was a very controversial person.
What message would you give to Trump?
Well, I would plead with him respectfully. Respect you have. You always knew the people in New York. You know Williamsburg. You know the rabbis. You wouldn't disparage or do something against the Christianity, against the other religions, their popes, the leaders. You see that the very religious communities are anti-Zionist in Williamsburg, in your backyard from Manhattan. You know what's happening in Jerusalem. Respect. And respect the humanity, the Palestinian people. They're being murdered. They're being assassinated. It's people say inhumane. It defies anything that's humane, what we call godly. You have to stand up and save these people's lives. And don't consider that you're going against the religion, because you can look at the Jewish communities that you live next door to, and the Jewish communities that are living in Jerusalem for hundreds of years. Respect godliness. You will eventually have to answer. Right now, you're blessed with a position being president. And ultimately, you were given this by God. And you're going to have to answer to God about this and step back and think, that when you come to God, how will you say, was the people being murdered, the people in Palestine? What did you do? Did you really study this to its depth? And if you will do that, you will see that it's bogus, that the Zionist claim that they're inhumane, these people are ants, that they have the right to destroy them because they're anti-Jewish. You'll see all of these things are patently false. We live together in peace. It was these that the Palestinians, the Muslims protected us. The actual reason why there is bloodshed is because there was a creation of an occupation, Zionism. And they're the ones who have the blood on their hands. The Zionism and the State of Israel is the personification of anti-Semitism. They're the ones who are causing anti-Semitism. They created a rift. They're causing hate. They're causing bloodshed. And respect that. Respect these people of Palestine. Save their lives. And when you will be able to turn to God, just like when my grandparents were killed in Auschwitz. My grandparents were killed in Auschwitz. My father escaped from the Nazis when they came into Hungary. The world was silent, and everybody has regrets that they were silent. President Trump, in the future, you're going to have to look back and answer how each individual life that you could have saved, save them, please. You were blessed by God. You will be blessed by God by saving the people of Palestine and bringing the hearts together of Jews and Muslims so we can live together in peace with a free Palestine.
There you go. Yeah, that's a message to the President, President Trump, from a Jew himself. We got a Muslim right here telling you how you can go ahead and help to establish a true peace like it was before, like when we opened up this picture where you had a Muslim and a Jew together.
Yeah.
Yes. Thank you, Rabbi.
God bless.
God bless.
If you haven't, come on now. What's stopping you? Like this video right now so we get more engagement with it. And subscribe. If you haven't subscribed already, go ahead and hit the notification bell so you don't miss exciting programs like this. And leave us your comments. Where are you watching us from? How'd you like this video? And any topics you'd like to see us cover in the future. And don't forget, we got another video right here you can watch and one right here. Until next time, peace be with you. Assalamu alaikum.